The incoming Trump border czar will go to the border. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, ahead of a mass deportation plan.
When Tom Homan arrives here tomorrow, he is going to be sending a message. And that message is that the Trump administration wants to be a partner for the state of Texas, not an adversary like we've seen with the Biden administration, which has essentially sued Texas every single time they've tried to secure their own border.
Fox's Bill Malugin and Eagle Pass. Some attorneys general in Democrat-led states and some governors and mayors are planning to defy federal deportation attempts. And Fox's Molly Line reports from Boston.
There are about half a dozen sanctuary cities across the state of Massachusetts. But focusing on Somerville, the city council is going to take this up. They've had actually a long-held commitment since the late 80s to being a sanctuary city. The move coming, though, just a week after and despite ICE agents' arrest of an accused and wanted drug trafficker from Brazil in that city.
Israel and Hezbollah keep working on a possible ceasefire deal to stop fighting that's already killed many Hezbollah leaders, along with some civilians in Lebanon and Israel, where Iran-backed militants have fired rockets since the Hamas terror attack last year that triggered the war in Gaza. A disaster off the coast of Egypt, 17 people missing after a yacht sank.
There were 31 tourists and 14 crew on board the Sea Story when it left port on Saturday. They were on a five-day diving trip from Egypt to the Red Sea, famous for its coral reefs. The Sea Story sent out a distress call shortly before dawn this morning. It's not yet known why it sank.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The day before a record Thanksgiving travel rush begins, there's a one-day strike at Charlotte's airport.
Employees at Charlotte Douglas International Airport who clean terminals, airplane cabins, who assist wheelchair-bound passengers and do other work, are off the job and on the picket line, striking what they say is too little pay.
It's anywhere between $14 and $19 an hour.
The airport is open and flights are not interrupted.
That's Evan Brown. America's listening to Fox News.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad capted Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran-Orris. Friends and family of 23-year-old Jacob Sims gathered for a candlelight vigil at Kennedy Skate Park on Saturday night. Sims' remains were found burned in a bonfire at a home on Roddenbaugh Road on the Fort Yuma Indian Reservation. The Imperial County Sheriff's Office declaring it a homicide. Deputies have identified a person of interest, but no arrests have been made yet. And dozens of local residents took part in a women's march Saturday afternoon where they hit the Yuma streets to make their voices heard. The march was to advocate for reproductive rights. It started at Brownie's restaurant at around 2 p.m. and wrapped up in downtown Yuma. And two children found their new forever home this weekend as part of National Adoption Day. The court-appointed special advocates, also known as CASA, hosted the 16th annual Adoption Day Saturday morning at the Yuma County Juvenile Justice Center. National Adoption Day is held on the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of Eldorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair, staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner. We're in studio here with a special guest, Chris Thompson. I also have my partner, Adam Hanson, here. And Chris, welcome.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here. I'm a big fan of the show. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a group of us once a week. We get together and have lunch and talk about the show.
That is a lot.
It's all the fans. And it's great because most restaurants can seat six or less pretty easily. I do listen to the show. We play this in the office every week on the radio.
Like live?
And listen, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was shocked to know, you know, that you guys record it and stuff. And so that was cool.
Well, now the magic is gone. Thank you.
Well, you can edit that out. We'll cut that in post.
Cut that in post.
Martin?
Yeah.
Cut that in post, okay?
So we worked in a kitchen for girls camp 2 years in a row, and we talked about the show, and basically the reason I like to do it is because it helps me keep up to date on current events, and although I like politics naturally, I will kind of wane away from it when it's depressing enough, but this show helps me take a positive vibe on politics and try to put it out there in a way that is relevant not only for the time period that we're talking about, the 24-hour news cycle, but for months and hopefully years to come, because it talks about the constitutional application of what's going on in our country and the laws that are being passed. But I don't want to start with that. I want to start with what you told me you would say if you were on the show, and that is, you know, your top things that you hate.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That bug you. So let's start with that.
Do you remember them? Or?
Yeah, a few. So we were talking about, remember Paul Harvey, and he'd do these little segments.
Yes. That was the rest of the story or something
It came from the AM radio show, the AM radio station that you guys are on. And when I first came back to Yuma and was working, every day at lunch, they'd play the national anthem. And it's Kate. It's a recording. It's Kate. The name will come to me. But I remember thinking, like, man, why? There's so many good versions of the national anthem. Why are you playing this terrible version? And every day going into lunch, it would launch me into this kind of bad mood. Because I'm like, this horrible version of the national anthem. So I actually called up the radio station and I said, why are you guys playing this version? Kate Smith. Why are you guys playing this version of the national anthem? Because there's so many better ones. Have you heard Whitney Houston do it? You know, this is before Chris Stapleton owned it.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, and they said, and the radio DJ, he was very kind, and he educated this stupid kid and said Kate Smith would go and sing this national anthem. She was part of the USO tour, and she would go and sing this to the troops. And in her day, she was just this fantastic vocal talent, and recorded this version, and so that's the original recording, and so it's not super high quality, and so it sounds a little garbled, and it's not great, but there's a history to it and how it's connected to our troops and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And that changed how I felt about when I hear it. So now when I hear it, I think of the story, I think of our troops, I think of the history of, and how many versions of that song there are. So then when we were talking about your show, I said, you know, there's probably a lot of things that I hate, but I probably only hate them because I don't know enough about them. I don't know the context. I don't know the history. And so it might be interesting to take some of those things that bother me, that I hate, and then dig a little bit into them and then see if I still hate them.
Okay. At Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years. Dune season is here, so ask about specialty tires for your toys. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations. Or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com. Choose the perfect tire and make your appointment today. We also have free pickup and drop-off for your hassle-free experience guaranteed. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
Through orientation and do all that stuff. So I hate self-checkout.
Okay.
But I need to dig into, I'm sure there's an efficiency to it that the store is experiencing.
Are some stores worse than others, like Walmart better than Home Depot or Lowe's?
I don't know. I mean, Lowe's is pretty easy because when you go to Lowe's, you just buy two or three things. It's pretty quick. You go to the grocery store,
yeah,
you might be behind somebody who's got a ton of stuff.
If I have vegetables, it's either I'm just leaving them there or...
And then search.
You're not searching for the cone?
No.
They all look like...
It says it's jalapenos or 48573.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I have to search J, A, you know.
Exactly.
I got to search for it. So I don't like it. I think it's a hang on from COVID and stuff and things like that. So
I'm going to do you one better. So in addition to that, it seems like when you check out, it always asks you, do you want to leave a tip? I'm like, why? Yeah. There's my tip in here.
Yeah. Well, if I can take 20% off my bill.
Yeah, right.
And that as a tip to myself, hey, so I'll do that.
But that ever since COVID, I feel like
a job checking myself out.
The tipping's out of hand. The tipping
is out of control. When I go to a restaurant, for example, not even a restaurant, like a fast food place.
Yeah.
Be a Chick-fil-A or whatever. The sad thing is I have to freaking stare this person in the eyes where they're like, can you make a selection on the screen and to move on and pay? And they're like,
no.
I'm looking down, it's like 10%, 20%. I'm like, I guess.
Or other. Are you one of the others?
Or not at all. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh.
No, but now they put the tab on there that it's like, or other, custom. And so you got to put like, literally type in zero. I am that guy.
Yeah, exactly. While they're sitting there staring at you.
Yeah.
Like puppy dog guys. I'm like.
They invented the iPad swivel for the tipping.
Yeah.
And that's totally an American thing. I mean, I traveled the world and tipping doesn't exist anywhere else.
Really?
Anywhere else.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know why that is.
Not even a little bit? Not like, hey, here's a couple extra bucks?
Huh. But you tip abroad.
I still do it.
Yeah, I tip abroad. You're an American. So they'll take your money, and don't get me wrong, that's not an offense, but it's not customary. It's not customary. We were, some friends and I went to Vietnam, and we went to this restaurant, and it was just in this lady's house, and Vietnamese foods, I love it. And we ordered the whole menu because we don't understand what anything was. So we just pointed at the whole menu and said, mm-hmm. That's the whole menu. It was maybe 20 items.
That was probably their first tip that you're Americans.
Probably, yeah, that we're eating enormous amounts of food. it's all vegetables over there, so it's all good. And then they brought us the food. The bill for three guys to eat the entire menu was like $16 or something. So we left $40 or in equivalent Vietnamese dong. We left that on the table, you know, as a tip.
That's an unfortunate alien for a currency.
Big dong. It's a big dong to leave.
Yeah, no, we were throwing dongs around. And this, yeah, they might have to have an age rating on this martini.
It's greasy.
It is.
I'm going to invest in a lot of dong.
There's a lot of dong jokes when we go to Vietnam. I've been three times, and they're always funny.
Another tip that you're an American.
Yeah.
Well, sneering like little kids.
But, yeah, we left the money on the table and left, and the lady's son was the quote-unquote waiter, and he came running after us down the street, thinking that we'd made some horrible mistake. Oh. We left all this money, and... We
made you want to tip him more.
Yeah, well, we did.
Oh.
You know, and so we said no, and now that you've run down the street, you know, here's $4 more, and it blew his mind. You know, it was a month's probably wages for him.
Wow.
You know, and so that's fun to see, but and traveling opens your eyes to all those different things, you know, how much we take for granted here. So I complain about things I hate.
Yeah.
But they're still great things.
Yeah, yeah.
Even, you know, even though I hate them, they're, you know, they're still a blessing and
what a privilege to live here.
So we need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about things that helped you develop as a person and acquire the level of success that you have in the United States. And at what point in your life did you really recognize that that thing was there as something that helped develop you rather than just a trial that showed that God didn't care about you? So we're going to take a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
We have got a beautiful Thanksgiving week of weather ahead. Starts with partly cloudy skies and 76 today, 53 tonight. Tuesday, sunny and 79, 58 Tuesday night. And Wednesday, sunny and 77.
Once upon a time, air conditioning was simple. It blew cold air, or it didn't. Today, air conditioning is more than cooling. Healthy, conditioned air is essential. When people ask me who I trust, I tell them. In Yuma, the only thing you need to know about air conditioning is Hansberger Refrigeration. Find them at HansbergerRefrig.com. That's Hansberger, R-E-F-R-I-G.com.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner in studio here with Adam Hansen. We are estate planning attorneys. We help people put together their affairs. We help them gather their assets and identify them, put them together in a binder, know where each of their accounts are, so we can organize them in a way that when they pass away, their children aren't going through probate. It goes directly to the individuals they want to have their inheritance, and also do it without any court intervention. What do we know about world affairs and making you happier and politics? Not much, but we talk about them nonetheless. So here we are with Chris Thompson, and we're talking. Chris, you're here. You're a longtime friend of mine. You're actually somewhat related. My sister-in-law is married to your brother. So small community, you're an architect here in town.
A successful architect.
So
I think I'm okay at it. Some are not successful, but you are.
No, that's true. There's a few of us here.
The full name of the firm is?
Thompson Design Architects.
Okay, Thompson Design Architects is on 16th Street.
Yep.
And what's the crossroad right there?
We're just a couple blocks west of 4th Avenue. It's that wood shingle triangle-shaped building.
Yeah.
So the previous owner built that by himself with a few friends back in, I think, 82.
So it looks like an 80s building.
Yeah.
Vintage.
So, you do a lot of the schools.
We do a lot. We basically do everything but residential. So we do commercial projects, school work, institutional work, municipal work for the cities and the county. So we do a little bit of everything. In Yuma, you got to do a little bit of everything. So on a given day, we might work on a restroom remodel at a school all the way to a multi-million dollar medical facility.
And you'll build a school from the ground up, or you'll design.
We design schools from the ground up. It you know, we drive around town, and you know, I have fond memories of designing these schools that my kids went to, or that my friends' kids go to, and things like that.
Did you think as a kid, I'm going to create a permanent infrastructure in the community that I live in? Did you imagine that?
That surprised you.
Not to that level, yeah. But I've always wanted to be an architect.
Really? And
yeah, so it was Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch. So
growing
up, when we would stay home and watch, you know, TV and things, I watched the Brady Bunch, and it was right before Gomer Pyle, and we would watch in Dukes Hazzard. Those are good days. But I would watch Mike Brady, and he would sometimes work from home, and he had a drafting board, and he would draw, and you know, I even at a young age, I knew what it took to live in Southern California with a family of nine or however many there were, have a live-in maid and have this house. And then this guy has this really cool job where he gets to work at home. And sometimes they'd show him building a model. And I loved building models and things like that. So I was like, man, he'd go and make a presentation to, you know, he'd have some big corporate guy coming in, and that was
this was all on the show.
Yeah there was a lot of scenes where he was stressed about a presentation coming up, where he's presenting to a client. So he was working down in the den, you know, at the Brady Bunch house.
I had no idea that.
Yeah So he was an architect, and so that kind of planted the seed of, you know, that's something I think I'd like to do. He gets to draw, which I love to draw, and he gets to build models. I loved building models, you know, airplanes, cars, those kinds of things. And then as I got further into the business, I realized that you get an opportunity to create something that starts as an idea, ends up as a sketch on a napkin, ends up as construction drawings, and ends up being built. And then you get to experience, walk around in it, experience it. And, you know, as I travel and you think about the places you travel, the built environment is really what lasts and what sets the tone and character for a place.
And you look at the different civilizations around the world, and you see the infrastructure that they have and the type of buildings that they have, like you say, the built structures. And that's how we kind of categorize how advanced they were as a civilization is, are their buildings still around, and what type of architecture did they have?
It's a demonstration of what that civilization took pride in, what was important to them. So if you think about that today, what's important to us? You know, some of our nicest buildings are government buildings. So what does that say? Some of our nicest buildings are maybe tech oriented.
Does it seem like we don't build as nice and ornate as we used to? It doesn't seem like there's anything that even comes close to the cathedrals that were built in Europe.
It shifted. Labor is, you know, know-how, handiwork, craftsmanship, pride. Something that is rare now with budgets being what they are, with, you know, back when they were building cathedrals, that supported the town. You know, the town was full of masons, the town was full of woodworkers, and that's what they did. And so everybody kind of built those structures together. They were community structures, communal structures. And now it's budgets and timelines and investments and ROIs and things like that. So that forces you to build much more efficiently, which unfortunately means not as much effort into the woodwork and and those kinds of things.
And not built to last. I mean, a building is
not necessarily built to last, but it's one of the things that I hate is when somebody has an opportunity to do a building and they don't do something, not that every building has to be some glorious, you know, edifice, but to take an opportunity for a structure that's going to be here long after we're gone.
Yeah.
To take an opportunity like that and not add to the community fabric, not add to the streetscape in a positive way, I think is a real missed opportunity. And that makes me sad as an architect when you see that happen.
Yeah.
Our building's completely driven by budget, or completely driven by poor design or lack of care in the design.
Your
design doesn't cost
just efficiency.
It doesn't cost more. It's just creativity with the dollars that you have.
We share the same faith, And in our church, we build what we call temples, right? I'm curious from your standpoint as a professional architect, what is your take on those? We talk about craftsmanship and things like that. Do you see craftsmanship when we build our temples?
It's elevated, certainly. It's elevated when I, and it's funny because when we go into the temples and they have open houses so the public can go in and see it, that's a lot of what people remember and comment on is the ornate crown moldings and the time that it took for that drywaller to sculpt that cove, you know. And so that's the, when I'm in there, that's when I'm looking at the corners.
I wondered about that.
I'm looking at the baseboards. How did they meet the wall? And how does... you know, the wainscoting like you have in here, you know, what detail did they do at the top that I know took extra time and therefore extra money, but it adds to the spirit of the building. It simply does. And so a good building can emote a feeling. And, you know, as successful attorneys, what do you want to project to the community that says something about you? I'm a big believer that the experience starts, you know, just when you get out of your car, it starts in the parking lot. So what does your landscaping look like? You care. It's obvious that you guys care. The flagpole, you know, that flag says a lot about what you guys believe in. And so all of those little architectural elements add to your experience, your staff's experience, the public's experience as they drive by. And so all those things are important. And so when an opportunity like that goes unexplored, that's an opportunity missed.
How do you get that from your clients? I mean, I feel like that's a lot for you as an architect to try and glean out of your clients. If you're going to sit down with somebody, because you kind of got to get to the ethos of what are they expecting?
Yeah.
And they don't even know.
A lot of times
you have to pull it out of them.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? What is interesting to them? What is their vision?
Right.
And that's hard. Like, you're almost a psychologist at a point.
A little bit. Yeah, you're a lot. Some of it's salesmanship. You're definitely in a marketing mode. When you know what the building, when you have a feeling of what the building could be, and if the owner is not in the same, on the same page with you or same wavelength as you, that can lead to conflict in, well, that's not kind of what I had in mind. I do take a lot of time with my clients in the early stages, getting to know kind of what they have in mind. What, you know, if I was sitting down with you guys and we were designing a new legal office, what type of law do you practice? What's your clientele? What feeling do you want it to have when you walk in? Do you want it to be warm? Do you want it to be, you know, modern and stark? You know, things, you know, we'll ask owners to, you know, send me pictures of buildings that speak to you, you know, just drive around and or look on the internet and, you know, let's look at some pictures of thing. And that's really helpful because then you can start to get, okay, this person's contemporary minded. This person's traditionally minded. And so then you can work with that because ultimately it's their building. It's not my building. Those days of the Frank Lloyd Wright architects where the client says, give me what you want, you know, that's pretty rare. I've only had one client that said, give me what you want, and that was fantastic. It was a great project, and it led to other projects. But those days are gone pretty much where the architect is seen as the creator and the artist, and the client goes to them for that. We compete in a market here where – Yuma's probably 10 years, a decade behind architecturally. The architectural vocabulary, the buildings that are in Yuma are behind. So what I try to do is try to introduce. And so sometimes we're successful and we can make bigger moves on certain buildings. Certain clients are more open-minded to, you know, I've never seen that before. Some people think that's uncomfortable. Well, I've never seen a building like that before.
Uh-huh.
And you'll say, exactly. That's why right. I need that building. And then other clients will recoil from that a little bit. I want it to look like other buildings I've seen.
Uh-huh.
And so you kind of walk that line. Sometimes it's difficult. Every client I work with, I try to get to know on some personal level because they're going to – we do commercial buildings, so they're going to work in these buildings. But think about how much time you guys spend in your office
right.
versus at home. know, the office wins most of the time. So it needs to be a space that serves its function. You know, it's a fantastic law office, but it also needs a space that you're comfortable in, because you're going to be in it for, you know, 10, 12 hours a day or however long you work. And so it needs to be, and then it needs to do serve that function as well, as creating a spirit, so to speak, in the building.
Yeah. Well, again, I want to get back to what it was in life that built the character that was required to achieve where you are now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about that. This is Life, Death, and Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Are your affairs in order, or do you think your affairs are in order? I'm attorney Adam Hansen. Now is the time to stop procrastinating. In fact, we have a seminar coming up on December 6th at 2:30 in the afternoon at the Foothills Library. My partner, Sean Garner, and I will be sharing with you what you need to know to get your affairs in order, or what you need to know to update that planning. Time is of the essence. Stop procrastinating. We'll see you at the Foothills Library.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Looking for a gift for your kids or loved ones? Consider getting them something they'll use for the rest of their lives. An education. Open an AZ529 education savings plan today. Contribute just $50 a month, and they'll have nearly $20,000 by graduation. Plus, your money grows tax-free and can be used for college, vocational school, or workforce training. An AZ529 account will help them unwrap their full potential. Learn more at AZ529.gov.
This message is sponsored by the Office of the Arizona State Treasurer.
They said
if I got drunk,
if I did coke,
I'd be one of the guys.
They said meth would help me get through my exams.
They said synthetic drugs would give me a safe high.
He said he'd love me forever if I smoked crack with him.
They lied.
Find out the truth about drugs.
Drugfreeworld.org.
Hi, Mike Morrison from El Centro Motors. And we have the biggest sale of the year so far coming up. Right now, you can buy a brand new F-250 for $46,777. Or you can get 1.9% financing. We've got Broncos. We got $15,000 off on Bronco Raptors. And remember, if you don't come see me first, I can't save you any money, and it's just that easy.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Find what you need, including rental equipment, at Southwest Lumber. Southwest Lumber has what you're looking for year-round. Looking for rentals? They have a huge variety of equipment, from generators, carpet tools, paint sprayers, pressure washers, and much more. Get half-day rentals and even Saturday rentals. Do you need small hand tools?
We got that!
What about a post-hole digger, micro-trencher, or sewer auger?
We've got those, too!
Call to find out this week's rental department special, 928-782-9867. Southwest Lumber. When it comes to DIY, we do it best.
This is 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We're glad you're listening again. We've got Chris Thompson here. He's at least locally famous here in Yuma. You've got a lot of things going on. You're not only your day job is a professional architect, and you're really awesome at that. But do you still have your taco truck?
You know, COVID kind of took the steam out of our taco dreams, and so we haven't done it in a while. But we kick it around every time. But I do love to cook. I still love.
And what's the name of it?
It was Barbudo Bros Tacos.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
We were all bearded at the time, and Barbudo is bearded in Spanish, and so. We were Barbudo Bros Tacos, and we won the taco festival 1 year. And
really?
Yeah, it's a good time. We still have it all ready to gear up. It's just a matter of
pulling the switch.
Yeah.
You guys are busy.
Maybe. Maybe one day we'll surprise you.
The band is getting back together. Okay. Is this your announcement? So that's another thing. You're super musically inclined, I believe.
I love to sing and play the guitar. I think you're a much better guitar player than I am. But, yeah, I love music, singing. Going to live music events is, you know, it's one of my favorite things. But I just appreciate that. Songwriting is incredible. You know, being able to write lyrics and things like that is just...
Like Taylor Swift, yes, I'm sure you're.
Yeah. Her older stuff was better, but
Sean was asking you earlier. You know, back when you were younger, did you see yourself where you are today? And you surprised us by saying, "Yeah, actually, I did see myself because I grew up on this Breaker Bunch.
I didn't guarantee success. I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up.
So you went to Cibola?
No. So actually, my family. I grew up in Yuma. I was born in Florida. My family moved to Alabama. My brother was born. Then they moved to Arizona, I think Wickenburg first. And my dad was in banking and agri-lending. So he was in agricultural lending. So we kind of bounced around ag communities. And then he ended up in Yuma at Valley National Bank. Mm-hmm. They were over there on 4th Avenue and 24th Street.
Yeah.
And... So he was there, and so that brought us to Yuma when I was little, maybe four. And then we were in Yuma till about the fourth grade, and then my dad got a job with another bank in Tucson.
Banking's a tough industry.
Banking's a tough industry. I didn't really, you know, I know how cutthroat it is. The average person may not understand.
No, they think that bankers, like lawyers and architects, haven't made. But in any of those fields, you've really, once you get the degree or once you get the position, that's when the real work begins.
Yeah.
But sorry, I don't want to sidetrack.
Well, anything that's related to relationships, banking's very much related to relationship. Architecture is very much related to relationships.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, most people don't find us through a website or just a Google search. You know, they hear of us or they know of us or somebody tells them of us and then, or you get to know them, you know, those kinds of things. And banking's very much that way. And so if you're good at that, you'll be successful. If you're not,
but there's a lot of politics within the bank itself.
Politics, yeah, involved. I mean, there's a board and investors that need to, you know, see profits, and it's a very high stress. I saw my dad go through some really stressful times as a banker, and then unfortunately, to move up in banking, you typically have to jump banks.
Mm.
So banks will court you, but they're not really courting you; they're courting your relationships.
Yeah.
Your
business as
direct. Well. Yeah. So they want your contacts. And
interesting.
And so my dad was very successful. And so that says a lot to his he took those relationships really seriously. I saw him go through a lot of stress, not necessarily for himself, but for his clients. When a loan wouldn't get approved, you know, that he would have to, you know, share that with them. And I remember several times where he was just came home just completely deflated because he had to tell some rancher that, you know, they couldn't get the loan that they wanted or something. So that was always, I was always witnessing that. So I knew I didn't want to go into banking.
Yeah.
But I think I got from my dad kind of that relationship. The strength of the relationship will determine your success.
Now give me a brief thumbnail sketch of your family. How many siblings do you have?
I've got three younger brothers. Three of us are here in Yuma. One brother lives in Gilbert. I've got a brother with YPD. I've got a brother who's a dentist. And then my other brother is in real estate. And both my parents live here. Fortunate to still have them, and they're still kicking and a lot of fun. We just took them on a cruise recently, the whole families, for their 50th wedding anniversary. So my brothers and I got them a cruise, and we did that together about a month ago. That was a great time. But we're all pretty close. And, you know, the brotherly rivalry is very much alive. And so our brothers, you know, we spend a lot of our time, you know, digging at each other and thinking it's all in love. But, yeah.
And I know your family pretty well. I've met and had a good relationship with each of your brothers. They're all successful. What is it that you would say was a primary ingredient in your family that allowed for and generated that level of success?
You know, my parents put a big emphasis on education. They put a big emphasis on education. They put a big emphasis on, you know, if the brothers were fighting, that was not good. And we knew it wasn't good.
So there fighting was, and
disarguing
or
bickering or
wrestling
each other. You know, that was not, you know, that was really frowned upon in our family. So I'm grateful for a mother that, you know, she used a wooden spoon on us from time to time. You know, you can't do that these days, but she did. And I think, you know, as much as we hated seeing that wooden spoon come out, I mean, she'd carry that thing to Kmart, you know, and it would all she had to do was lift it out of her purse. And we knew, you know, that it was not beyond her to do it right there in the aisle, you know, at the supermarket.
Yeah.
Olson's on 16th Street when Olson's was there. Uh-huh. You know, I remember the wooden spoon came out once or twice. So I love my mom. My mom is extremely caring, but she also understood that she was raising boys, that she wanted to be men. And so there was, you know, there was times where she had to remind us that to behave.
In your
tiger mother.
Yeah.
In your family's definition, what is a true man?
Well, my mom would say, and because she has said many times, she's proud of us boys because of the families that we have, the wives we've chosen, how we've raised our children, that we provide. All four of her children have successful careers and provide for their families, and she sees how much we love our wives and our kids. And so I think for her, for my mom, that would be a man, you know, somebody that provides and cares and loves, but is also strong and a protector. That's my dad was.
Follows through with her commitment to her family.
Yeah.
And to the overarching specific role of being the protector and provider.
Yeah, taking it seriously. You know, it's, you know, your job as a husband and a father is a serious job, and you need to take it seriously. And that kind of echoed through even when we were little with why we take education seriously and why we take behavior seriously. It's because she knew she was raising men, you know, that we wouldn't be boys forever.
Yeah.
So, so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I saw how much my dad would put my mom number one over us.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was number one. And I remember my
dad. Did it ever hurt your feelings? Like, huh, should be loved the best.
Well, I'm the one they love the best.
Oh, okay. So we still
were brothers. So right. I still win. But my dad, I remember him sitting us down. It was a day where all four of my brothers gave it to my mom, just both barrels all day long. We were probably home for summer or something. And so that's a house full of four boys. And my mom had just had it. And I remember my dad came home, he went upstairs, they met, you know, we thought that's weird, you know, that they're meeting in their bedroom before they, it's never good.
Generals in the tent,
yeah,
getting ready.
Exactly. So we're all in the kitchen, you know, pretending to look up the stairs. And my dad came down and he sat us down and he said, boys, your mom is number one and the rest of you are number two. And I will always treat your mom number one. So if you disrespect your mother, you will lose. I will always put her number one. And so we knew that, you know, where we stood with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what hardship did you not foresee in watching the Brady Bunch and his level of success that you encountered in your life that developed a level of character that you had to rely upon later on as that bedrock for the more difficult issues you'd have to confront as a professional? Or I'm a professional, I should say.
Yeah, so life was pretty good. I was successful at school, went on scholarships, got a job with a great firm in Tucson, and then got a great opportunity to come here and head up a firm. And so everything was really good. My wife, Edna, you know, I loved her. She's from Yuma. She's been here her whole life. And we have our two great daughters. So I was on my path to, you know, just what you would dream of, you know, perfect family, perfect career. Things are going great. We're in this great town that, you know, has all so much to offer. And then my wife Edna got diagnosed with, out of the blue, with cancer. Stage four is when we found out about it. So she just kind of went in for some fever and some uncomfortable stomach stuff. And we walked out of that doctor's appointment with, you know, basically, this is it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was something that, you know, when you talk about being able to hear the world kind of crack, that was that moment for me where, no, it's not perfect. It's not going to go perfect. I always had a lot of optimism and faith that, you know, there'd be some miracle, something was going to happen, because that's how my life had been, is if I worked hard enough, if I tried hard enough, things would work out. And so I kind of went in with that same mindset to this battle against this cancer. Edna knew right away that it wasn't going to go her way, but she played the trooper for me and our daughters and did the treatments and everything just to try to be as healthy as long as she could. And that was her ask to the doctors. I want to be a mom and a wife as long as I can and before I go. So just keep me active, keep me healthy, knowing that, you know, she knew she was going to lose. It's to see that, to see her get in that ring, knowing you're going to lose the fight, but still get in the ring and fight, was something I'll never forget, that I'm impressed by her. And but it was, no doubt, it was hard. It was a hard pill to swallow. It was difficult to accept. I still don't understand it, nor do I accept it. And when I get up there, the big guy and I are going to have a discussion.
Yeah,
I need some explaining. But, you know, we had, our daughters were 8 and 10 at the time. And so to lose their mom was real tough. But so what it did for me was, I wanted to just do what you would do, what you would imagine you would do. I wanted to curl up in a ball. I wanted to jump in my truck and just drive away and never come back. But you can't. I've got my daughters, you know. And so that forced me to reframe how I see my life, how I see where I'm putting emphasis on my life, what things are important. Do I need to spend all those hours at the office, or should I cut it short and come home and spend some time with my kids and my wife? And, you know, those things that you think are really important aren't as important anymore when you get faced with that situation. If I started to think about, you know, what kind of life do I want to have with the life that I have left, and what kind of person do I want to be for my daughters? And so that has helped me to not give weight to things that don't deserve that much weight. You know, we get caught up a lot in, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
You're so worried about a certain situation that you forget all these other wonderful things that are right here.
Right.
And so so I try to always take a step back. It's one of the reasons I travel. It's one of the reasons I try to create great experiences for my daughters. You know, memories is really what I think are more important. And so I think as far how that's helped me with work is, I think it's, you know, my daughters would say I'm a different person. I'm not as easily frustrated. You know, it changed me. Going through that. And so those are things that translate to work, in the sense that you can, you know, a problem's not so bad. You know, if there's a problem in your paperwork or your, you know, things like that, it might be seem like a really big deal.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just not. So when something goes wrong on the job site, or a design doesn't quite come together, something that would have been just, you know, a huge weight at the time, yeah, it's not so bad.
It can be fixed.
Yeah, it can be fixed.
And or does it matter?
Or doesn't, you know, it's not really that big a deal. So that's helped me. And then before Edna passed away, she asked me to not take too long to get remarried. Because our daughters were young and going to need, they're just entering their teen years. They're going to need some help.
Yeah.
And I have to work.
you know, so, and I'm the dad, you know, I don't know everything that teenage girl, I can't provide everything that teenage girls need. So she asked me to not take too long. So when I felt like I was ready, I got back out there and found Rachel, and she's incredible. So she's exactly what I needed and what my girls needed. And, you know, we, Rachel and I talk about that. She lost her husband from cancer, coming up on, I think, 20 years now. And so I gained a son and a daughter through that, that I feel like are my responsibility to take care of for him. And I take that seriously. And, you know, Rachel's caring and kind to my girls. And they'll call her when they have it, – it's funny. They'll only call me with kind of positive stuff. I don't think they want to burden dad with, you know, I think they feel sorry for me. So they don't want to burden me when they have problems, but they'll call her. And so I love it when I don't even know that there was an issue and Rachel will say, you know, the girls called and they had this and this, and I, you know, talked them through it and everything. And so I'm grateful for the women in my life that have my mother, Edna and Rachel, and kind of the mothers that they are and have been. So, but you know, it gives you perspective, and I think that translates into the work. You know, so you can do better work when you have a.
So you think that you are like another level of mature as a result of that going.
Oh, absolutely, through. Absolutely. There's a level of maturity. There's a little bit of a saltiness. When you get a wedding invite from somebody's kids, you know, in the mail, I always kind of, there's a little bit of me that's kind of like, enjoy it, you know, because it may not go how you think it's going to go, you know, not to dampen or their excitement and, you know, because you don't think about these things when you're in the throes of early life.
So if you had to name the most important decisions that you made that you didn't realize they were that important at the time, what would those be?
Well, I knew, both the women that I've been married to, I knew that they were the right choice, for me. I knew that was an important decision. The decision that I didn't know would be important, I knew that coming to Yuma was an excellent opportunity, but I didn't know what would be here to help me through that time. And it was family, it was friends, it was relationships, I didn't know how important it was for me to be in Yuma when Edna and I went through that.
Did you find yourself, because you're a man of faith, did you find that fracturing? I find it interesting. I think, I don't know if this is a theory that's actually true or not, but I've always had this theory when a hard thing like that happens in a particular person's life, you have two options. You can either turn to God or you turn away.
Yeah.
You just kind of go the other way. And that's my theory. I don't know if that's true or not. What do you think about that?
I used to think it was one or the other. And after going through it, I think it's both. And the best example I can give is when your kids are angry with you and you understand the anger and the anger's valid, but you still love them. And they know you still love them, even though they may be angry at you. And so I think that's where I find myself most of the time with my relationship with God, is he knows that I'm angry about that for me and my daughters, and that we had to go through that, for Edna, all the opportunities she's missed. So, but he knows that I love him. He knows that I know that he supports me and still loves me and loves my daughters, looking out for us. I have no doubt he brought Rachel into my life. But it's complex and it varies. You know, I think there's waves. There's times where you're angry, and there's times where, you know, you're
thankful.
Thankful. In all of it, I'm turning to God, but sometimes I'm turning to him.
That was my question.
Anger.
Did you find yourself maybe going all in, like a little bit more in, or it sounds like it vacillates depending on
for
your
sure.
attitude and your mood and life.
But at the end, that was my question. So at the end, you know, as you go through those ups and downs, do you end up more up closer to God, or is it status quo?
I think it's strengthened my relationship with God. It's developed and added dimension to my relationship with God. That, you know, in the scriptures it talks about wrestling with God.
Yeah,
and that He wants that. He wants us to, you know, go to Him with things we don't understand. Go to Him with things that don't make sense. And it's what I want for my kids. When they're going through trials, I want them to come to me.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's good or bad, I want them to come to me. And so He wants us to do that too. So when I'm angry, I go to Him and tell Him how angry I am, you know. And when things are going great, I go to Him and tell Him how thankful I am, you know. So it's like you said, it's vacillated. There's times where I feel like He's my best friend, and there's times where I feel like, and this guy doesn't even know me.
Yeah.
So,
well, we have to take a break, and for the radio show, this will probably be the last segment. But for the podcast, you can jump on and listen to the rest of it. This is Life, Death, and the Law, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Are your affairs in order, or do you think your affairs are in order? I'm attorney Adam Hanson. Now is the time to stop procrastinating. In fact, we have a seminar coming up on December 6th at 2:30 in the afternoon at the Foothills Library. My partner, Sean Garner, and I will be sharing with you what you need to know to get your affairs in order, or what you need to know to update that planning. Time is of the essence. Stop procrastinating. We'll see you at the Foothills Library.
At Firearms Unknown, Black Friday starts early. Daily deals on items that'll knock your socks off. Huge deals as much as 90% off. Guns, knives, ammo, and accessories. Hurry, inventory is limited, and sales are only good while supplies last. Come into the store at 801 West 32nd Street or visit FirearmsUnknown.com. That's FirearmsUnknown.com. Remember, at Firearms Unknown, Black Friday starts early.
The song asks, why's the rich man busy dancing while the poor man pays the band? A home warranty doesn't climb on the roof to fix an AC. The AC man does. In AC service, avoid the middleman. Call your neighbor, the AC contractor, or call Air Central Heating and Cooling today.
Our connections make powerful things happen, uniting individuals and communities. We are Rotary. We are people of action. With over 1 million members, we know what people can do when they come together. Find out more at rotary.org/action.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of Eldorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
Eldorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.